What if being great with money doesn't guarantee you're doing great with your spouse? Hi, I'm Rob West. If you're the money person in your marriage, you may think you're doing everything right, but what if your spouse feels shut out of the process? It happens more than you think. Shanti Feldhahn joins us today to talk about how you can avoid that disconnect or fix it if need be. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, it's always a joy to welcome back relationship expert and researcher Shanti Feldhahn. She's the best-selling author of numerous books on marriage and relationships, including Thriving in Love and Money, co-authored with her husband, Jeff. Shanti, great to have you back on the program.
It's always great to be with you.
We look forward to it. And boy, this is a topic that I'm excited about covering because I think it happens much more often than we might imagine. As you well know, you have a new article in our Faithful Steward magazine. It's titled, A Penny for Your Thoughts. If you're money-minded, don't silence your spouse. So let's begin with that. What's the key takeaway, Shanti, you hope readers remember after reading this?
Well, here's the main thing, is that I think that a lot of money people, who sort of by definition is anybody listening to your program, that they don't realize how often they might be signaling to their spouse this message that, you know, I'm kind of right, you're kind of necessarily wrong, and your opinions may not matter. We spend a lot of time, we spend a lot of energy trying to, you know, figure out what the sort of the financial plan is and all that kind of stuff, which is fantastic. Yeah. But what happens to your marriage if one person doesn't feel like what they value is honored?
Yes. Well, there's no question about it. And I know the issue of honoring what each person values is so key. And that was a big realization, obviously, in the work you did for Thriving in Love and Money. What did you and Jeff discover about how spouses perceive each other's financial judgment in marriage?
Well, it was actually really interesting to notice that we asked it multiple different ways on the survey, and it always came out to being about 2/3 of people kind of thought their way was right.
Interesting.
and that they knew more than what their spouse did about, okay, I know more about how to manage for our well-being and maybe the long-term well-being rather than the short-term. And so what that means is kind of like the we're all above average drivers. We all have that kind of that mindset. And that's fine. Again, like everybody has their opinion. But here's the problem is that where the money person, again, probably the person listening to this, where the money person feels like, well, of course, we need to handle things this way. The person who may be less interested in, you know, listening to the money radio programs or reading the money books, they may feel completely that their opinion is dismissed.
Yes.
And that is just not good for the long term. And I honestly don't think, based again on the statistics, that most money people realize they're even doing that.
Yeah. Now, we can acknowledge this radio show is the exception. Everybody wants to listen to it, but most financial shows. Yeah,
absolutely. Just absolutely.
Now, this can lead, of course, to tension. And really, Shanti, it comes down to this or that, right? So the vacation or the college fund, and depending on what you value and how you've, you know, grown up and what your environment was and your temperament, that can lead to valuing different things for one spouse versus the other, right?
Oh, of course. And this is one of the things that we found was depending on the survey question, depending on how we asked it, this happened in more than 80% of couples. Wow. Where you just value different things and you don't realize that you're thinking, for example, well, of course, it's just obvious that we need to save for example, our kids' college fund, or maybe it's the grandkids' college fund. Where the other spouse is thinking, of course, it's just obvious that now is the time while they're young to go to Disney World and enjoy it while they're young. And that neither is wrong or right. You're just different.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And if you're not careful, this can spill out in the marriage well beyond the finances. So what's the solution? Well, we'll give you some steps to be more intentional about involving each other in financial decisions. With us today, Shanti Feldhahn, author of Thriving in Love and Money. Back with much more after this. Don't go anywhere.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. What kid doesn't love a Saturday morning? For me, Saturdays were best when my dad was working on a home improvement project and let me tag along. I wasn't old enough yet to be much help, but I had my set of little tools and he gave me little jobs to do. Along the way, I learned a lot helping him do what he was doing, and more importantly, I grew closer to him. You know, growing closer to God is a lot like that. Joining Him, doing what He's doing. As Jesus said, "Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me." And it might look different from person to person what taking up their cross and following Jesus means, but it will include using your time and your talents and your treasure to grow God's kingdom. Anchor Devotional is an encouragement for your daily walk. Visit getanchor.com.
Are you a financial professional looking to grow your practice while offering advice that aligns with your Christian values? By becoming a certified Kingdom Advisor, you'll gain the biblical wisdom and professional credibility to serve clients who are seeking faith-based financial guidance. Each year, more than 75,000 people search for a certified Kingdom Advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Start your journey today by going to kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Every single believer is called to ministry. Don't buy the narrative that is limited to a select few. Every single believer is called to execute our King's Great Commission. But let us be about our Father's business. Our nation's greatest and most enduring need is for repentance of the unbeliever. Repentance across the board. Believers who live lifestyles of repentance.
Join Abraham Hamilton III on the Hamilton Corner. Weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
Wondering who Faith and Finance recommends as a banking partner that aligns with Christian values? It's Christian Community Credit Union. When you open a high-yield checking, savings, or Visa cashback card, you'll help advance the gospel when making everyday transactions. Visit faithfi.com/banking and use code FAITHFI when you sign up. That's faithfi.com/banking with code FAITHFI. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
So are you the money person in your marriage? Do you think you're getting everything right? But perhaps your spouse feels shut out of the process. Well, we've got help for you today. Shanti Feldhahn is here. She's a regular contributor on the program. She's the author with her husband, Jeff, of Thriving in Love and Money, an incredible book. It's a must read on money and marriage. It can be a game changer in your life. She's also the author of the article in our recent edition of Faithful Steward, our magazine, of A Penny for Your Thoughts. If you're money minded, don't silence your spouse. And if you want to receive 4 issues of Faithful Steward each year, plus our new studies and devotionals, become a FaithFi partner when you go to faithfi.com. Just click give at the top of the page. Well, Shanti, before the break, we were talking about how so often that spouse that is not money inclined, they don't get excited about the spending plan and they don't necessarily like paying the bills, but that doesn't mean they don't have things that they value. We all do, but they may be different. And perhaps we're unintentionally communicating or practically leaving one spouse out completely of the conversation. And that can go beyond even the finances, can it?
Well, it often does go beyond the finances because, I mean, think about it. How would you feel if you felt like your spouse just completely didn't care about what you're trying to say. You know, what is it that is the most dangerous here? Is it the risk to the budget or the risk to the marriage?
Yes.
And I think that that's what a lot of folks on all sides of this equation, by the way, I'm not just trying to hammer the money people out there.
Sure.
But I think that's a lot of what people don't recognize. We ended up doing a pretty extensive analysis of what some of the biggest risks were in these situations. And we found out that the biggest thing by far that can cause issues is resentment. And that if one spouse starts to feel, one spouse, okay, not necessarily both, it can happen if just one spouse feels this way. If one spouse starts to feel resentment and starts to feel like you just seem to think that your way is the only way,
yes,
and that therefore my way doesn't matter, that starts this domino effect of all these other issues that never had to happen. And so that's what I'm trying to sound the alarm about, is just for people to be aware of the need to listen to things that maybe they didn't think, kind of subconsciously, maybe weren't, they didn't think they were worth listening to because, well, my spouse isn't a money person and I'm the planner, and so they need to listen to me. Treat that very carefully.
Yeah. Now, Shanti, one thing, and this won't be a surprise to you, I know you've heard it yourself, but we hear a lot from the Certified Kingdom Advisors, is this can happen in your advisor's office where your advisor is talking to one spouse and not the other, right?
Yes. And that was actually an example that we heard, because as you, I think, know, we ended up doing some conversations at one of the Kingdom Advisors conference and doing some interviews. And when I was speaking there, at one or two of the times I was speaking there, and that was something that we heard frequently from the Kingdom Advisors, was that there is a tendency that they have to fight to talk to both the spouses, and frankly, many of them said, to get both the spouses in the room.
Yeah.
Because often, you know, one will say, well, I'll just let the money person, they'll just go, which is fine sometimes, right? Nothing wrong with that. And yet that means, by definition, if you're not touching base with both of them purposefully,
yes,
you are only hearing what one person values. And over time, again, may not be a big deal, you know, in the short term, but over time, you know, that analogy of a 2% degree off in a plane that's flying, it leads to a different continent.
Yes.
That can cause an issue.
The vector principle. That is a powerful idea. All right. Well, let's help our listeners break through then today, Shanti. So for couples who want to be more intentional about involving each other in financial decisions, what advice do you have?
Okay. So in the article that you've mentioned a couple times, I suggest three steps. There's many different ways you could do this, but this is sort of an easy way. The first one is to sit down at some non-emotional time and, you know, you're having coffee in the morning, say, and say, okay, on a scale of 1 to 5, how heard and how valued do you feel in our financial decisions? Mm-hmm. So whoever the money person is that's listening to this, ask your spouse that, and then, you know, trade off and ask each other, right? And here is the key. This is step two that comes from it. If you hear anything less than a 5, like if your spouse says, well, kind of a 3, like take that as honestly a bit of a red flashing warning light. Like that's something that it should be a 5. Like every person, every marriage, whether everybody agrees with one another, everyone should say, you know what? I know we don't always like have the same opinions, but yeah, I totally feel heard. I feel like what I care about is incorporated. If it's not, then you need to have a really honest conversation about why that is.
Yeah, that is so good, because that opens up the conversation, and that's obviously the key to making progress. Now, I know there's a particular chapter in Thriving in Love and Money that could be really helpful here as we try to uncover each other's money values, right?
Yes, and that is actually step 3 that I mentioned in the article, because it's the chapter that we put together based on seeing all these different types of money values. Now, that might sound funny, but there are a bunch of different ways that people view money. And it could be like, you value, I mean, this is silly, but do you value things versus experiences? Like, you think, you know, it makes perfect sense to spend $1,000 on the big, you know, beautiful monitors that you use for your computer, but $1,000 for a weekend away, yeah, you know, you might think that that's wasted money. So everybody has these different kind of perceptions of money values. And so what we did in chapter 3 of Thriving in Love and Money was we actually outlined what all of those are so that you can read it together. The whole point behind the way that we designed the book was so that you could read it together. And even sometimes people read it out loud to each other and take notes, or maybe if it's uncomfortable to do that, read it separately and write notes on what you value in the margin, so that when your spouse reads what you've said, you when you read what each other have said, you're actually reading a personalized copy.
Yes.
You're saying, oh my goodness, yes, you know, I value time over money. Like, I will spend, this is a personal example. What Jeff and I found out when we started doing, we actually did this, was that I totally value the ability to pay for like a movie ticket ahead of time, even though it adds $1.50 to each ticket.
Sure.
To, you know, for the convenience fee. So I don't have to get to the theater, you know, half an hour early to get a good seat. Like, that is completely, of course I'm going to do that. Where Jeff is like, are you kidding? Get there half an hour early.
Yeah, exactly.
And we would never have figured that out if we hadn't actually gone through that process.
Oh, Shanti, this is so good. And we've just scratched the surface. So folks, pick up a copy of her book. It can be a game changer in your relationship. It's called Thriving in Love and Money, 5 Game Changing Insights About Your Relationship, Your Money, and Yourself. You can also check out Shanti's article in Faithful Steward, FaithFi's new quarterly magazine designed to help you connect your faith with your finances for the glory of God. Just go to faithfi.com and click give. We'll be back with your questions after this, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. We'll be right back.
The mission of AFA is to inform, equip, and activate individuals and families to strengthen the moral foundations of American culture and to give aid to the church here and abroad and its task in fulfilling the Great Commission. The vision of American Family Association is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training in the interest of cultural transformation.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
You're young. You don't go to the doctor that often. Yet health insurance is still so expensive. If your health insurance costs too much, maybe you should switch to an affordable alternative. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers programs starting under $100 per month. Check off the affordable box on your list and get back to what you really love, running your business or caring for your kids, and have peace of mind while doing it. Visit chministries.org/faithfi to enroll today.
I'll do some stand-up comedy, Abe will do some preaching, Tim will MC the whole thing, and I'm really excited about it. The Weekend with AFA is a chance for our supporters to get better acquainted with the people and ministry you're supporting.
It's a Weekend with AFA, Thursday, October 2nd through Saturday, October 4th in Tupelo, Mississippi. Speakers will include Abraham Hamilton III, Jenna Ellis, Tim Barton, Tim Wildman, and more. Register at afa.net/weekend.
We're grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
Dad was concerned about the direction America was headed, and he was determined to do something about it. Maybe that describes you today. If it does, I want to strongly encourage you to consider a charitable gift annuity to American Family Association Foundation.
Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
So glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Looking forward to taking your calls and questions today. If you have financial questions, something you've been wrestling with, perhaps over the Father's Day weekend, there was something going on in your financial life that you've been thinking about. It's been top of mind. Hopefully not, but perhaps it's even kept you up at night. We'd love to hear about it. Whatever that question is, go ahead and call right now. We've got a few lines open, even though the calls are coming in. That number to call is 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. Our team is standing by. We'd love to get you in on the conversation today. Coming up in our final segment today, Bob Dole will stop by. Bob is our market expert. He's the CEO and CIO at Crossmark Global Investments, a frequent contributor on Fox Business and CNBC. He joins us each Monday with his market commentary. He'll weigh in on the market. Some good news, economically speaking. He'll talk about consumer sentiment. I'll mention that here in just a moment, but certainly cover the waterfront in terms of what we're watching this week in terms of economic data. The market shrugging off the Israel-Iran conflict, perhaps betting that it will be contained. We're seeing the market higher today across the board, the Dow up a little more than 1%, the same for the S&P 500, the NASDAQ up about 1.5%, doing the best here. Oil is continuing, it's coming back down. It had moved up dramatically at the start of the Israel-Iran conflict. It is now coming back down, and again, I think further evidence that investors believe this will be contained. In the news today, a bit of encouraging news about the economy. We'll get Bob's take on this in just a bit, but consumer sentiment ticked up in June for the first time in 6 months. That was according to the University of Michigan's Index of Consumer Sentiment. It rose 16% compared to May. That's good progress, but we're still about 20% below where we were in December 2024 and well under pre-pandemic norms. The improvement seems tied to optimism about trade talks. Americans are feeling a little less anxious that tariffs will drive up inflation. That's important because consumer spending makes up nearly 70% of our economy. When people feel confident, they're more likely to spend. But here's a red flag. 44% of Americans believe they'll be worse off a year from now. That's the highest level of pessimism in the survey's history. So even with a little relief, Americans are still wary. The bottom line, be cautious, or being cautious isn't the same as living in fear. It's just wise stewardship. And as always, we walk forward in faith, not fear. We'll have Bob reflect on this bit of consumer sentiment data, plus the other pieces of data we received last week coming up a little later in the broadcast. All right, let's dive into your questions today. We're ready to tackle whatever is on your mind. We're going to begin in Texas today. Hi, Carol. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I was just wondering, I'm in my 70s. I'm in good health, but I know something could happen at any moment. Do you recommend a book or some form of information that I can put in all the code numbers, all the passwords, so that my kids, it will be easy for them to figure things out if I should go suddenly?
Yeah. Yes, I think that's a great idea. You really want to be organized there and make sure that your children, whoever is going to be inheriting, you know, what you have, has what they need. I'll give you a resource from one of our friends, Art Rayner. Dr. Art Rayner leads the ministry that certifies the Christian financial counselors, and he's really someone who just understands the heart of God and has a real affinity for this area of personal finance from a biblical perspective. But he created a resource called the Essential Emergency Binder. And it really is an excellent tool for sharing information your heirs will need after your passing. It's well organized. I think it's comprehensive, and it's specifically designed to give your loved ones peace of mind and clarity during a difficult time. The easiest way to get it is just simply the website EssentialEmergencyBinder.com. So just write it all out, EssentialEmergencyBinder.com. It's fairly inexpensive, and it's less than $20, and it will give you kind of a template you can use. I mean, I think the only question would just be, you know, if you are going to go ahead and write out all of the information about your bank accounts, and particularly the online logins, you're just going to want to be sure that that's secured, and, you know, I would think a fireproof safe. Another option is you use that to capture all of the other information that doesn't change as often, because if you are using best practices with regard to online safety, you're going to want to make sure that you're changing those passwords regularly, which just creates a challenge there, because then every time you update something, you're having to go in and update that document. So another approach would be use one of the encrypted online password keepers. So, you know, I use one called 1Password, the numeral 1Password. You could do a search for it. There's another one that's fairly popular called LastPass, LastPass. And the idea would be that you could store all of your logins and passwords there. Again, the information is encrypted. And then in that emergency binder, you would just keep the access credentials for your password keeper. And that way, as you update those, not only does it create an easy way for you to access those passwords securely without having to memorize them or look them up, but it gives your loved ones one place to go to get everything. And so I think the combination of an encrypted password keeper and something like the emergency binder with all the names and account numbers and details, would be really important. Is that helpful, though?
Very much so. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And let me just finish by saying, communicate early. Let your children know what exists and who's in charge. And there's no need to disclose amounts unless you want to, but give clarity on what to expect and where to find it. I think this is also a great opportunity when you fill out an emergency binder like this, just to make sure your legal documents are up to date, your up to date will, power of attorney, healthcare directive, those kinds of things. You may want to check beneficiaries on things like insurance policies or financial accounts. So hopefully that helps give you a template here. Again, that website, EssentialEmergencyBinder.com. Carol, thanks for your call today. Lord bless you. A quick break and back with more questions after this. 800-525-7000. Call right now.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Since 1994, Timothy Plan has shared good news with investors and advisors by offering faith-honoring mutual funds and exchange-traded funds. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners Limited and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services, LLC. Investing involves risks, including possible loss of principal.
The Middle East, that's one part of the world we need to pay attention to, especially the country of Israel. Each week, I'll help you make sense of what's happening in that region through a biblical lens. I'll bring you important information about security threats, archaeological discoveries, biblical prophecy, ministries happening on the ground, and much more. I'm John Riley. Join me for the Middle East Report Special Edition every Saturday at 6:30 p.m. Central on American Family Radio as I connect you to the people, places, and geography of what we read in God's Word.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Are you looking for a financial professional who shares your Christian values and offers advice you can trust? Certified Kingdom Advisors are experienced financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program rooted in biblical financial wisdom. They meet high standards of integrity, competence, and stewardship, helping you honor God with all He's entrusted to you. To find a certified Kingdom advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a Professional.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net and sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by credit card debt? As followers of Christ, we are called to be good stewards of what God has given us. That's why our trusted partner, Christian Credit Counselors, is here to help. Their debt management program can help you pay off your debt 80% faster while honoring your commitments in full. Take the first step toward financial freedom today. Visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got some lines open as we take your calls and questions today. Call right now, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Coming up in the next segment, Bob Dahl stops by with our market update. The market starting out in positive territory today by more than 1% across all of the major indexes. Also, oil backing off its peak at the start of this Iran-Israel conflict. We saw oil spiking. It's pulling back as investors are betting that the conflict will, in fact, be contained. We'll get Bob's take on that straight ahead. In the meantime, let's head right back to the phones. We'll be headed to Oklahoma and talk to Larry in a moment, but first, New Jersey. Mark, go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Thank you. I just had a call. I'm 63 years old, and I wanted to know if I start collecting Social Security and still decided to work full-time, and I live in New Jersey, what would that limitation be that I'll be able to make without affecting the monthly Social Security?
Yeah. Yeah, very good. So a couple of questions in there. Can you draw benefits at 63? Absolutely. You can collect as early as 62, but starting early permanently reduces your monthly benefit, typically by about 25% at 63 versus waiting until age 67, whatever your full retirement age is. So that's going to lock in that permanent reduction of whatever your full retirement age benefit was at myssa.gov. About 25% lower. How much can you draw? Well, it's going to be based on, you know, your 35 years of highest earnings. And so, you know, it could give you the opportunity, if you're earning more, to replace some of those lower working, you know, or earnings years, maybe at the start of your career. And that could increase it. So that is an opportunity, but there are penalties if you go over a certain threshold. So if you are under full retirement age as of the year 2025, the limit on what you can earn is $23,400 a year. If you go over that, for every $2 you go over that amount, $1 is withheld from your benefits. So you earn $50,000, you go $26,000 over, you would have $13,300 withheld. Now, you will eventually get that back. So once you reach full retirement age, Social Security would recalculate your benefit and increase that monthly benefit to make up for the months that were reduced. Now, that could take a decade or longer for you to be fully repaid for what was withheld because you earned more than the limit, but it will eventually, if you live long enough, all be repaid to you. So it's just important to be aware of that. Now, in the final year where you actually hit full retirement age, that benefit goes up to about $50,000 on what you can earn. But until that final year, if you're before full retirement age, you've got that limit of $23,400. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And okay. I thank you so much for the information, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely. God bless you, Mark. We appreciate your call. Let's go to Oklahoma. Hi, Larry. How can I help?
Hi, Rob. Thank you for your ministry. I appreciate the information that we can all glean from your program.
Thank
I
you.
Have a question about my 401k savings plan with the employer that I'm with. They are moving from Avoya Bright Horizon funds over to the BlackRock LifePath funds. And I was wondering, what is your opinion or what is your take on BlackRock funds?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good question. You know, here's what I would say. I think there's a significant number of Christians who have misgivings about their investments being handled by BlackRock, which happens to be the largest asset manager in the world. And typically when they do, where they have a conviction or a conscience decision away from the firm, it's typically for their advocacy around some aspects of ESG investing. I think there's aspects of ESG that are very good, but there are aspects of it where in the name of ESG, they're, you know, really becoming activists around certain social issues or, you know, when it comes to, religious liberties, things like that. BlackRock has been very, strong in their shareholder activism. I think some of these shareholder resolutions have been tied to social causes or other issues that don't necessarily line up with the values of many believers. I think the challenge here is that, if this is your only option for a 401k, your ability to go elsewhere is very limited unless they're giving you something called a brokerage window where you can use, BlackRock, but go beyond that to invest in other investments. Now, you could also just inside that plan, hopefully they're giving you more than just the BlackRock funds because, even though it could be a BlackRock plan administrator, it could be that there's other investments in there that, you could tap into that would be more aligned with your values. I think the challenge is in many 401k plans, participants have, limited say in how their money is invested and even around the transparency issue, and that's going to be challenging. So, here's what I would say. At the end of the day, you're going to be limited in what you can do. Your company's making this, decision to move over, but I would go into it just really with a mindset of I'm going to do my due diligence. I'm going to understand what options I have fully and then try to do the best you can to align your investments with your values. Certainly once you separate from employment, at some point down the road, you could roll this out to an IRA and now all of a sudden you have access to just about anything. Does that make sense though?
Yes, it does. And I appreciate the information and I'll look into it further. Thank you.
All right, Larry, thanks for your call today. Quickly to Louisiana. Hi, Gary, go ahead.
Hey, Rob, this is Gary. I got a question. I've been in a house 4 years. I've already taken the equity loan twice, and I'm about to do a third, and the price is getting kind of up there. I was wondering about a 30-year just complete refi comparison, and then I'm looking to retire in 7 years, so I got 2 years of child support to pay out. That's a big kicker. I'm going to knock that mortgage in the head when I get done with that. But
yeah. Give me a rundown of the loans you have right now, the first and then any subordinate mortgages.
My first is at a crazy rate of 2.1, so I've been sitting on it, and it's an equity machine.
What do you owe on that?
The other one is 11.5 equity, $66,000. So total 212, the house is valued at 255.
So the house is 255. What do you owe on the first mortgage that's at 2.1?
146.
146. Okay. And yep. How long do you have left on that?
10.5 years.
Okay. And then how many other second or additional mortgages do you
have?
Yeah,
one other second at 66, and it's a 15-year for 11.6, which is just bananas.
Yeah, and how much more do you need?
I my fiance is cancer treatment and not working, and we've been red every month for over a year. Maybe two now.
Wow.
I need
another
30 to carry out some credit cards that are going to explode next April if I don't do something.
Yeah.
They're low rate now, but they're going to, you know, go back. So.
Yeah, sounds good. Let's do this. I realize that's challenging, and things are going to change quite a bit here in the next 2 years. I definitely wouldn't touch that first mortgage, but let's do this. I've got to take a quick break. I'll give you my thoughts on the other side. Stay with us.
What does it really take to follow Jesus? This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress explores the true cost of discipleship, shares how to discover your primary purpose, and outlines a biblical plan for transforming your heart. Join us for the series called Shine the Light, all this week on Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Is our theology of money upside down? Our vision is that all Christians would see God as their ultimate treasure. You know, it's a game changer of an idea, and we start with this idea that God owns everything, and we are his household managers of what he has entrusted to us. So we own nothing, but we have stewardship responsibilities.
Faith and Finance with Rob West, weekdays at 9 a.m. Central or on the AFR app.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Today, put your heart into something that makes an eternal impact. Heart for Lebanon is sharing the gospel and protecting girls from early marriage, child labor, and violence. Your gift of $114 helps reach 3 at-risk girls with hope and a brighter future. Give generously. Text FAITH to 98656. That's FAITH to 98656. Or visit faithfi.com/Lebanon.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance. Well, the big board is green today across the board. All the major indexes moving higher and oil down. I think investors are betting that the Iranian conflict will be contained. We'll get Bob Dahl's take on that, consumer sentiment, and a lot more as we start off the trading week straight ahead. But first, before the break, we were talking to Gary in Louisiana. Gary is 2 years away from some child support going away, which will change his financial picture because of being in and out of work. He and his wife, they've struggled to make ends meet. They've got a phenomenal first mortgage at 2.1%. That's about as low as I've heard. Congratulations on that, Gary. They owe $146 on that with 10 years left. The home is worth $255. He's got a second at a rate of 11.6 that with a 15-year amortization of $66,000. They've got about $30,000 in credit card debt, and he was thinking about taking another mortgage, which would be at 13.3%, which would another $30,000, which would push him at about above 90% loan to value when you add all three together. And Gary, I'm going to encourage you. I realize this is easier said than done, but I'm going to encourage you not to do that. Number one, we certainly don't want to touch, that first mortgage. I mean, it's a phenomenal interest rate. You know, you're 20 years in to a 30-year loan. This is the part of that mortgage where the vast majority of every payment is going to principal reduction. We don't want to start that over. And the rate would, you know, basically quadruple just based on what I imagine your credit score is. Second, you know, I don't want to roll that second into a new second, and I don't want to add a third mortgage, especially for two primary reasons. Number one, that's a really high interest rate at 13. But number two, you know, right now we've got unsecured debt. And if we get into I know you're already in a hardship situation, but if we get into a crisis financially, now all of a sudden that home is at risk if you can't make that payment because we're collateralizing, you know, that unsecured debt now tying it to your home. So we want to stay away from that. So I would just sit tight with the mortgage And what I would do with the credit cards is look at, if you haven't already looked at this, a credit counseling program. Our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org have worked with thousands of our faith and finance listeners. They can get those interest rates down, get you on one level monthly payment. Now, the key is going to be, can you service all of that debt and still keep food on the table and cover the other expenses? Because I realize, you know, at that $30,000 in credit card debt, I mean, we're probably talking somewhere between $600 and $900 a month, 2 to 3% of the balance. And CC and Christian Credit Counselors could tell you for sure. The real benefit, though, is if we can get, you know, for the next 24 months, a budget that balances and cover that Christian Credit Counselor one payment a month that they're then going to send on to your creditors, the combination of a level payment, not declining, but level, and the lower interest rates, because they'll bring those interest rates down somewhere between 0 and 9% typically on average. It's going to depend on each card. You know, that will at least get you moving in a direction where you're making progress every month. And as long as we can service, you know, the monthly payment to the credit cards and continue to keep the first and second mortgage paid, keep food on the table, utilities paid, gas in the car, you know, those kinds of things, and we can make it through for the next 24 months, then you could redirect some of the extra that you're going to have available in the budget toward wiping out those credit cards, building up the emergency fund. Now, all of a sudden, we're in a much, you know, better position you know, to really start attacking that second mortgage and then just pay out the first mortgage just based on the normal schedule. Does that all make sense, though?
It does, and I hate to lose that 2.1. It's an equity generator, you know. So.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we don't want to touch that, but I just don't want you to, especially given some of the ongoing challenges with how tight the budget is. I just don't want to, you know, tie that $30,000 in credit card debt to your mortgage, you know, to the home. And so I think at this point we just need to buckle down. You know, anything that's beyond the big four. You know, keeping the roof over your head, keeping the utilities on, gas in the car, and food on the table should be negotiable at this point, because we got to service the debt and, you know, get to a place 2 years from now where you've got a little bit more disposable income and you can start making some real progress toward getting a more solid financial foundation under you. So the place to go, again, ChristianCreditCounselors.org. And if we can help further, don't hesitate to reach out. Thanks for being on the show, my friend. God bless you. Well, here in our final segment, Bob Dahl is here. Bob, boy, a lot to talk about today. We've got the conflict between Israel and Iran. We've got oil prices. We've got a consumer sentiment number out. Where do you want to start?
Yeah, I want to start. The screen is green, very
yes,
different from
we'll
the
take
red
that.
Screen we saw on Friday, as you pointed out in your intro earlier. It looks like investors are saying, not fun over there in the Middle East, but it's not going to create ridiculous oil prices that might put the world into a recession. This could go back and forth several more times, Rob.
Yeah, no question about that. Bob, what about consumer sentiment and how significant is that, just how consumers are feeling here in the United States?
Well, the number up, this was the University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey. It jumped more than expected, and actually inflation expectations dropped a bit, but they're still high numbers. So the consumer is still spending money. My thesis is, unless and until the labor market flags, consumers are going to continue to spend money, and the labor market is tired, but it's not showing much sign of absolute weakness yet.
Yeah, no question. All right, Bob, I know there's a lot of data here in the this week's weekly commentary. What are you focused on moving forward?
Obviously, the Middle East and oil prices. Somebody asked me over the weekend, what's going to happen with the market? I say, watch oil prices. And, of course, oil prices are down today, and that means the stock market is up. So keep your eye on oil prices. We're hoping and praying that the disruption there does not cause a blockage in the Straits of Hormuz or other things that would cause the price of oil to jump significantly. And that would trouble the somewhat fragile global economy that we're in right now. So oil prices are the key.
Yeah. What about inflation? I know there was some encouraging data recently on CPI and PPI, right?
Yeah, we got both readings last week, and whether it's the headline reading or the core, meaning ex food and inflation, the numbers were, in all cases, a little better than expected, about 0.1%. Now, most of us are thinking that tariffs have not yet made their way onto the shelves, as it were, into final goods pricing. So we probably have some tariff-induced inflation still in front of us. Time will tell.
Yeah, very good. Bob, as we you continue to look at the data here, obviously the Fed, you know, has not been as big a factor as of late as it seems like they have been for the, you know, previous couple of decades. You know, obviously the White House is floating the idea of nominating a temporary Fed chairman. What do you make of that, and how could that play out?
Hopefully a lot of noise. We don't need an actual and a pretend Fed chair. President Trump wants the current Fed chair out, and he does not have the authority, most would agree, to kick him out early. And so the current Fed president will stay in, and frankly is doing a reasonably good job. Yeah. Needless to say, administrations always want interest rates lower so the economy does better, but we can't risk inflation, what the Fed would argue, and I'm of that cause. So Fed continues between a rock and a hard place. That is somewhat stubborn inflation with the tariff increases still worrying them. And on the other hand, a labor market that has not yet weakened enable them to cut rates. So we expect a lot of noise and words out of the Fed, but no change in policy this week.
Bob, it's been 6 months since your 10 predictions. It feels like it's been 2 years. But what do you think? What do you think we have in store for the back half of the year? And how likely do you think a mild recession is?
Still think a mild recession is noticeable be below 50%, but higher than normal. Normal is 10-15%. I can't continue to put 20-25% odds on a bad day, 30%, but nowhere near 50, Rob. So I think we'll continue to muddle through. The consensus coming into the year is the U.S. economy would grow 2-2.5%. Now we are guessing it's probably going to be more like 1-1.5%. So still positive, but much more muted.
I know you had been saying and have for some time that we need, looking forward, to think about the next decade having more modest annualized returns on stocks versus what we've got used to for the last decade or two. Given kind of what has materialized, at least thus far, 6 months into the president's 4-year term here, do you still think that's the base case, or is there reason to think that we could see improvement on that?
Given the starting point of valuation and the starting point of all the profitability measures, that is their high, it's really hard to argue we're going to have super returns over the next decade. We're using 5%. I just last week started a refresher white paper on this. Hope to release it the end of next month that will argue positive returns likely, but not double digits.
Excellent. Bob, when white papers like that come out, those who are signed up for your Dolls deliberations, do those go out automatically?
Yes, they do.
Awesome. Folks, be sure you sign up for Bob's weekly investment commentary, Dolls deliberations. You can do that at crossmarkglobal.com. Bob, we appreciate you, my friend.
Have a great week.
All right. That's Bob Dahl. He's our market expert, joins us in this segment each week, and we always look forward to his insights and analysis. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us today. If you love the program, you found something you could put to use in your financial life, or we've just been an encouragement to you to live as a faithful steward, we'd love for you to become a FaithFi partner, looking for 45 more between now and the end of June. Those who support us at $35 a month or $400 a year. We'll send you 4 issues of Faithful Steward, our studies and devotionals, and pro access to the FaithFi app. Just go to faithfi.com and click Give. Big thanks to my team today, Jim, Devin, Sandy, and everybody here at FaithFi. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.